It is time now to catch up on Orange County government, orangecountync.gov, for more information on county government, including the county commissioners. Penny Rich is the chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, and she joins us today on the phone in between one very long meeting and another, because they had one long meeting last night and another one coming up tomorrow that we'll talk about, too, to catch us up. Commissioner, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, well, you know, I got some rest, so that was good.
You just woke up, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I took a little nap, but don't tell anyone that. No, it's really weird. You can't go to sleep after a meeting like that, right? So you're up for quite some time, mm-hmm. and you're writing some notes. You're trying to make sure that you got everything down, and then you fall asleep. And then, you know, you wake up in a panic at 7 a.m. thinking, oh, my God, I forgot to do something. But I didn't. I had all my notes and sent all my emails out, and then I went back to sleep.
So,
you know. So it was okay.
Yeah. So last night's meeting was part two of the public hearing on the Research Triangle Logistics Park. Part one was last week with several dozen people speaking, and I know about that many more again speaking last night. So what did you hear?
Yeah, that's right, Aaron. And we actually had three public hearings last night, but the first one was on the site that in the Economic Development District. And a lot of the same concerns, traffic on Davis Road, you know, it's a large piece of land. A lot of the folks that live around there knew that it was an EDD, but, you know, since it hadn't been developed for 40 years, no one thought that it was ever going to be developed. So there were some concerns that, you know, folks that had just recently moved into that neighborhood off of Davis Road didn't even know that it was an EDD. So, you know, a lot of really good, well thought out comments. And then, of course, because we are in still in a COVID response and we meet virtually, folks could send us emails until tomorrow, which is the 24th by 9 a.m. So if you want to get some out tonight, you can. And that will still be part of the public hearing record. And that's the rules during COVID. You have to have a 24-hour waiting period, and then you really can't vote on the project the same night as well. So, yeah, lot of traffic concerns. I think most of the concerns are based on traffic and, you know, the thought of very large trucks. How are you going to get around old 86? How are they going to get onto 40? Is Davis Road the only option?
So when the vote's going to be, I know the vote's scheduled for October 6th, whether it happens on that day, but that's where the vote is scheduled for. When you're making this decision, and this is kind of a decision that you have to make with, I assume, pretty much every kind of big development proposal that's on the table, where right now there's nothing or very little development, and you're thinking about putting something in that's pretty big that's going to increase traffic concerns and noise concerns and commotion congestion concerns just kind of by the nature of the proposal, and there's always going to be people nearby that are affected. So when you're making that final vote, How do you weigh the concerns of the people who currently live nearby versus the need for economic development? Because I can remember just following development proposals and fights in the past. Like, there have been some cases where neighbors have raised concerns, and those were sufficient to cause county commissioners or town council members or whoever to reject the project. Other times, same concern but a different result, and the development got built, and it's here now in Orange County. And both sides are valid, raising valid concerns and valid points. So how do you weigh the two sides? How do you make that decision?
Yeah, and that's a great question, right? Because I've been doing this for a really long time, so I know of some of those. You know, if you think about the concerns when Southern Village came in, and mm-hmm. then Meadowmont came in, and then, you know, every time the university built something, we had that Carolina North, if you recall, back like 10, 12, 14 years ago.
Right.
You know, that sort of got everybody out. You know, it's the decision, what you need to do in a case like this, because it's economic development, and you need to weigh everything. Like, is it really disruptive to people's lives? On the other hand, the positive is it's $150 million investment into the county. with 1,000 jobs. And, you know, the jobs are warehouse jobs and jobs, there'll be some high paying jobs, but there'll be medium income level jobs, which we desperately need in Orange County. So you do have to weigh that all out, you know, and we're also in a very odd place right now with economic development because we don't know what's going to happen in the next year or 2 years. And so it's, you need to be very, very careful about how you ask questions and make sure you get the right questions in there. And for example, there are, we will go back on the 6th, but the commissioners asked if we could dig into the conditions a little bit more. And, you know, what's a condition? Well, you know, the buffering, if it does go through, can you build opaque buffers? So the landowners that are to the south and the west of the property won't see the property. Can you keep that tree level in there where you can keep any kind of sound as you're cutting trees down from I-40 and that sound comes in, can you buffer that? So the way to start negotiating to try and get what's needed, so everybody can be somewhat satisfied, is to talk about conditions.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, and again, orangecountync.gov is the website for more information, and stay tuned for further discussion and development on the RTLP project. That was last night, and then tomorrow night you're meeting with the two school boards, which is another big meeting with a lot to talk about. So what's going to be coming up there?
Yeah. And so we had a preliminary school collaboration meeting to create an agenda with the governor allowing schools to get back into, in-person classrooms, there's a lot of questions that the school boards have to think about right now. And they create their policy and they make the decisions. We're going to listen to some of that discussion tomorrow. We'll probably start with a COVID update and, are the schools thinking about reopening? There are some supervised learning labs right now that are happening, which we're grateful for because not everybody has connection to the internet out in the county. And also, there are students that, their parents can't hang around with them all day and make sure they get online. So there are some of these learning hubs that are happening. I mentioned the technology challenges. But also there's a lot, the food insecurities don't go away just because there's COVID. So we'll learn a little bit more about, food distribution and updates on that. And then we still do have a homeless problem. And where are those students and how are they getting online and how are they learning? So we will get an update on that. We'll talk a little bit about the SROs, the school resource officers. Both school districts have created task force to decide whether they are going to continue with SROs or what the new role of an SRO might be as we move into the future. And then we'll talk a little bit about budget, CARES Act spending. There's very specific things that you could spend your CARES Act money on. So we'll get a budget analysis from both schools. And then the 2016 bond projects, we asked them to give us an update on that. And then lastly, and this is on everybody's mind right now, how are we handling equity and are the structure in our county right now? I know that county commissioners created an equity team with our human resources committee, but what are the schools doing? How are they handling this? And how do you weave equity through each one of these topics? So it'll be a good discussion. We're basing it on discussions and not a lot of PowerPoint, presentations like the past, because we wanted to give everybody a chance to really talk about these issues.
Full agenda online at orangecountync.gov. More info on county government there. Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, and as we move into other topics, Governor Cooper earlier this week made an announcement kind of signaling the easing of restrictions at the end of next week, assuming metrics hold for the state. That's going to include, among other things, and we don't know other details, but that would presumably include allowing a small percentage, but a significant number of people back into Keenan Stadium, for instance, for future UNC football games. Thoughts about that and the possible easing of restrictions as we get a little bit further into the fall?
Aaron, it's funny. I just had my meeting with the mayors, and we were taking guesses on what Aaron Keck was going to ask Penny Ridge today on the radio show. And we were betting, and we figured you might hit that Keenan Stadium question. So as you know, our order is just a little bit different from the executive order in the gathering size, and that's the 10 and 25 versus the 25 and 50. And the mayors and I decided today that we're just going to hold on to what our order states until October 2nd when the governor makes his next order change, just not to confuse anyone in the first place, but also, you know, we're doing really well. Orange County's at a 3.6 positive percent rate. We've been under 5 for 2 weeks, and we told everybody if we got under 5 that we would increase those gathering sizes. But we don't want to do that and then change it again on the 2nd. So we've gotten this far. The parties have subsided a bit in Chapel Hill. People are really doing a really good job, and we want to encourage that good behavior. As far as folks being able to be in Keenan Stadium, Orange County really has no control over that because of the state school government entities are exempt from any local restrictions. But it doesn't mean that we don't have concerns. I did talk to the health director about it, and she's not happy about it. She knows that we can't stop it, but there's big concerns. I think it's like 7% of the seating could be in there. So I guess what is that, like about 4,000 people or so? What are we estimating?
3470 or something like that. I think
3,500.
So yeah.
3,500. All right, let's call it 3,500. When you think about Keenan, you can spread people out enough where, and they're outside. That part is fine. I think the concerns, especially with the health department, is when people go to the bathroom or people, entering and leaving. There's all these sort of things in play where we need to make sure that people are not near each other. And that's going to be up to the university to make sure that happens. It's a concern, but I think it's done right. It can happen. We just have to cross our fingers that it's done right.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Ridge, and as we start to wrap up, this is usually the part where I say what else is going on in Orange County that folks ought to know about, and I'll say that, but I also want to know what's the best question that y'all came up with earlier in the day that I haven't asked yet.
Well, you didn't ask it. It was Halloween.
Well, we usually talk with Mayor Heminger about that.
I know. Well, because of the because it happens on Franklin Street, and it's not a town sponsored event. It just sort of organically happens. But this year is a little bit different. I mean, the Mandy Cohn is going to have Friday. The mayors are meeting with the health department, all in a Zoom meeting, and she's going to give some guidelines to how she thinks Halloween should happen. Mm-hmm. But you find like the CDC and most places are like, please don't send the kids out trick-or-treating this year. Maybe, do have a little party or a pod or something, do something in your home. But that's one of our biggest topics right now is we can't stop kids. We can't cancel Halloween. Let's put it that way. We can't stop kids from wanting to dress up and do something. But maybe little neighborhood parties, we don't even know. So we're going to see what Mandy Cohn comes up, Dr. Cohn comes up with on Friday, and we'll be able to talk about that on Tuesday. You'll have the mayors on before me next week. But that's not a big concern now. And then, as Quintana was saying, you move right from Halloween into Thanksgiving and then right into the Christmas celebration. Mm-hmm. And that's, the chance of people being together and close together and traveling and spreading the virus becomes a real issue. So, here we go into the fall season, and those concerns are real valid and alive. So that was it, Aaron. You're going to have to get better about that Halloween.
as we get closer, we will probably.
True, true.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government. Don't forget tomorrow's meeting of county commissioners with the two school boards. Get the full agenda there and a link to the live stream as well. County Commissioner Penny Rich, as always, thank you so much.
Awesome, Aaron. Talk to you next week.